To understand again just exactly what's happening in Swaziland, and as John said, the work's grown quite a lot from the time we had the opportunity to go there. And I think there's a group of about a dozen from the church going, or a dozen, Jan, later on this year, which is, again, absolutely brilliant. A number of youngsters who will be trying to raise money and sponsorship to be able to get over there. And I think it's going to be a really great experience for them, and hopefully it won't be the only time that something like that happens. I want to just share a word today. I was encouraged and challenged last week when Andrea began to pray and to share a word about spreading the aroma of Christ. And I want to just read a few verses from 2 Corinthians where that actual phrase comes up, and just develop it a little bit this week in the time which I have left to do that. So I may not finish, but we'll do as best as we can. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 says this: "But thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ, and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of him. For we are to God the aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To the one we are the smell of death, to the other the fragrance of life. And who is equal to such a task?" As I say, Andrea referred to that phrase last week, and I've been meditating on it a little bit this week, and it's one of the pictures of the church which I really love, actually. This sense of being an aroma of Christ. I looked the word up in the dictionary, and the definition for aroma is fragrance, sweet-smelling perfume, subtle, pervasive, or permeating quality. And that's what the church is to be for Christ and to the world. A fragrance, a sweet-smelling perfume, which is pervasive. It permeates into the environment and into the atmosphere in which we are. And of course, we're not just talking about church in a building like this. We're talking about church 24/7. Every day of the week, wherever we are to take that aroma of Christ with us. And that's us. We are that sweet-smelling fragrance, first of all, to God. It's so important that we see our ministry, first of all, is to God. And the way that we live and the things that Robin and Jerry are doing in Swaziland is a ministry, first of all, a sweet-smelling fragrance to God. And then it goes on, and also to those who are responding to the gospel. So there's a fragrance about the church which permeates and which affects and which is a sweet smell to those who are responding to the gospel. The more full of him we are, the more we have to permeate and affect the world in which we live, the greater influence we have. To others, and this is a challenge, to others, that same aroma, rather than bringing life and hope and peace, for one reason or another causes a reaction. And the result is the rejection of the message of Christ. That same aroma, which to God is a sweet fragrance, that same aroma, which to those who are responding and open to the gospel is a sweet fragrance, Paul tells us to the others, it is a fragrance of death. It stinks. The actual picture that Paul is referring to in Corinthians is of the Roman triumph. The triumph was the procession which the conquering Roman generals, they would come back to Rome, and they would be at the front of the procession, and behind them there would be all the booty which they've plundered from whatever country it was which they've just conquered. And behind them there would be prisoners and slaves, and they would march through Rome, showing the whole city of Rome what an incredible conqueror and mighty general they are. And in front of the general would be two people, and they would be wafting incense. And as that procession would march through Rome, they would be wafting this incense. And that incense to the generals, That incense to all those bystanders who are cheering on this procession, it's an incense of victory. It's an incense of triumph. To them, they love the smell, because for them, it's just confirming and affirming this mighty general and the victory which they've won. But that same incense to those at the back of the queue, to the prisoners and to the slaves, it's a waft of defeat. It's some of those are probably going to end up in the ring and be killed. It's a waft of death. And that's the picture Paul is using. The church has this opportunity to bring that sense of fragrance and aroma. And for those which are responding, it's blessing and life. But to those, unfortunately, who choose to reject it, it's death. But what a privilege which we have to bring this sweet-smelling fragrance of hope, of grace, of love, of holiness everywhere we go. In John chapter 1, verse 14, Jesus is described as being full of grace and truth. An absolutely beautiful description. Jesus, the Son of God, we saw and beheld his glory, full of grace and truth. You see, Jesus wasn't known as a person to point the finger. Jesus wasn't known as a person for bringing condemnation. Jesus wasn't known as a killjoy. In fact, the Bible says he's described as being the happiest among his group of friends. He was anointed with the oil of joy above all the others. Jesus was a very, very happy person. Jesus brought a fragrance into Palestine which attracted the common people. He didn't come primarily to judge, the Bible tells us. He came to save. He mixed with tax collectors and prostitutes. He mixed with those which the religious authorities would have walked on the other side of the street. They considered them too sinful to be even associated with. But Jesus mixed with them. The very ones the religious wouldn't associate with, he loved. And do you know what? They felt comfortable with him. They didn't feel he was there to condemn. They felt acceptance. Why? Because he was full of grace and truth. And he loved them. So much so that some of them said, he's a friend of sinners. It's like he spends all his time with this group of people, which we don't want to touch because they'll defile us. And yet Jesus spent so much of his time with them that he became known as a friend of sinners. The ordinary people loved him. They flocked in their thousands to hear his message. There was a fragrance of heaven about Jesus. He was bringing in a new order, a new kingdom. It was based on love and acceptance. The miracles which he did, he didn't just do to those that responded to the gospel. Everybody who came got healed. Do you hear what I'm saying? Can you understand what Jesus was like? Now, the religious people didn't like him. They were upset. He broke all their rules. He did all the stuff which they didn't think he should do, and he wasn't doing the stuff they thought he should. But he was bringing in a new kingdom. He was expressing the fragrance of heaven. And it was a kingdom based on love and acceptance and forgiveness and peace. Jesus, why am I telling you all this? You'll see in a moment. Jesus was full of grace and truth. And so should we be. So should we be. That is at least part of that fragrance, that aroma which we can bring to the world in which we live. Now the Pharisees, they know the law. They knew their Bible. And in their Bible, it said adulterers, they should be stoned. It says here, Deuteronomy 22, verse 22, if you're caught in the act of adultery, or if you're an adulterer, you should be stoned. They had the text, they had the verse. Also says it in Leviticus. And they caught this woman in the act of adultery. I tell you, I was just thinking about this week. It makes me mad. How many people does it take to commit adultery? But they caught the woman. The Bible actually says both should be stoned. Both should be killed. And they brought this woman to Jesus because they knew what their Bible said. If you're caught in adultery or if you're an adulterer, you should be stoned. And I'm told that they would have stripped her to the waist to humiliate her. And there she would have been dragged along, and the crowd would have been there. And the scribes and the Pharisees, they would have been looking. Now what are you going to do? Now what's your answer? We know the Bible. The Bible says she's got to die. They were trying to trap this man who was so full of grace and truth. Jesus just says he just wrote something on the ground. I don't know what he would have written. If it was me, it would have been hypocrite. I don't know, lots of other things. And then he says to the crowd, whoever among you hasn't sinned, you cast the first stone. And they walked away. And do you know what Jesus said? Woman, I don't condemn you either. Don't do it again. Full of grace and truth. That's how the church should be. That's how the church should be. A place where those who are caught up in all sorts of mess and sin and difficulties and pain in life, we're not here to point the finger. We're not here to sort their lives out initially. We're here to accept, to welcome. And just as Jesus said, I don't condemn you either. Don't do it again. You see, it's grace followed by truth. And the reason I just felt I wanted to share this with you and remind you a little bit about some of these things is that's what the fragrance of Jesus is about. But the church is known not for grace and truth. The church is known for truth and a little bit of grace. The church is known for what we speak against. The church is known for what we condemn, for what we point the finger about. If people messed up here and they knew what we think and what we believe, they might feel uncomfortable to come here because they would feel condemned, maybe. That should not be. That should not be. Just as they were able to come to Jesus, so they should be able to come to the church. And we should have a fragrance about us which is like Jesus, which is full of grace and truth. So that everywhere we go, we're a blessing. You want fragrance, perfume, it changes the atmosphere. Some of you will know I'm not a real fan of dogs, and we have a dog at home. And I don't know whether my nose is a little bit sensitive, but when we first got him, I'd come down in the morning and there'd be that dog smell. Oh, am I going to have this for the rest of my life? Yeah. It's a dog smell. It's not a bad smell. It's just a dog smell. I don't like dog smell. Poor Jackie, poor Emily. But what Jackie did, I mean, round the kitchen and scattered, there's these little fresheners now. There's these little things around the house. And I come down in the morning and I don't notice dog smell. I mean, I'm sure it's still there, but I don't notice it now because there's a fragrance in the place. Yeah, that's how we are to be in our workplaces, in our schools, in the colleges, wherever we go, to bring a fragrance of Christ into that place. In our factories, at the school gates, church will be different. Everything will be different when the life of Jesus is flowing through us in such a way there's a fragrance which rises to God and which changes the environment and the atmosphere. I used to work in a building society, and I'd been there a number of years, and the manager said to me one day, he said, Neville, he said, George, since you've come here, there's a peace in this office which wasn't there before. Now, I wasn't trying to do anything different, to just be myself. But when God's in you and you are being yourself, the fragrance of Christ will affect that place. I mean, I didn't notice it. I just said, I didn't say to him, but I thought, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. It's the fragrance of Christ. And the fragrance of Christ in you as he lives in you and you live him, will have that permeating effect wherever you go to. And that's the call to us. The challenge is, are we able to administer grace? Are we able to live that life the way Jesus did? And the answer is yes, as we allow his Holy Spirit and his life to fill us and flow through us. Now, I'm not suggesting we don't hold on to biblical principles and expectations. Of course we do. In fact, a holy lifestyle is part of that permeating effect. It's not compromise. It's not living like others do. That won't make any difference at all. There is a call on us to live a holy lifestyle. But when we slip up and when we fall, there's a grace for us also to receive, that we might receive from him, pick ourselves up, and continue to be a blessing to those we come in touch with. God is calling us to be a sweet aroma. I've just got three things to end with, and then we'll pray. Three aspects of our life that help spread this aroma of Christ. Number one is our words. Colossians 4 verse 6 says this: let your conversation be always full of grace and seasoned with salt. Ephesians 4 verse 29, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. That's a sweet fragrance. Words which are positive, words which bring hope and encouragement, words which build up rather than knock down, words which encourage rather than criticize, words which are positive rather than negative, words of hope rather than words of despair. That's a sweet fragrance that we can bring into every environment in which we live, rather than having the opposite effect. Number two, attitudes. Philippians 2 says this: your attitude, Philippians 2 verse 5, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. And it goes on and it talks about him humbling himself and becoming a servant. Our attitudes will bring an aroma of life or an aroma of death. Do you know what? Do you know what? Without saying a word, you can minister life or death. You don't have to speak. Your body language can give it away. But even stranger than that, people pick up how you're feeling. There's an attitude on the inside which, regardless of what you say, will have an effect. Do you understand what I'm saying? James says this evidently to his team at Refresh. He says, if you've had a bad week, if you're feeling down, if you're not happy, I don't want you stewarding. I don't want you on the door, because I want people that come into this Refresh meeting to be greeted with people that are positive and are happy. Now, I like that. I mean, that's how it should be, isn't it? Because you could be on that door and feeling really depressed and try to put a smile on your face and say, lovely to see you. But if it's all a pack of lies, they know. It's your attitude will give it away. I've said to the worship leaders, I've said, guys, I've said it a few times, I mean, not to the whole team, but you know, if you're depressed, if you're down, if you're not happy, please don't sing, please don't play, please don't try to lead worship. I want to minister encouragement, not despair, on Sunday mornings. I want us to be optimistic and positive, not negative and down. And you'll be saying, Neville, but that's so unreal, because we all go through those difficult times. Yes, it is. So you come and sit here and you receive from the positive ministry, because these people are positive. Do you hear what I'm saying? If it's hard for you, don't minister hard stuff. Minister life. It's an attitude which God wants to touch us so that we can give to others. What was Jesus' attitude? He was humble. He wanted to serve. He was a giver. He was moved with love and compassion. He was obedient to his Father. And these things flavoured and coloured all that he did. Last thing to say, deeds. Our deeds will spread the aroma of Christ. Hebrews 10, verse 24 says, let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Hebrews 12, verse 15. Through Jesus, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess his name. And sometimes we stop there, but that's a sacrifice that God's pleased with. But it goes on. And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased. Just coming to worship, just coming to pray, will not spread the aroma of Christ. But as we speak, as we have good attitudes, and as we work and do acts of kindness and love and show the love of Christ by the deeds which we do, Jesus says it and Peter says it, they will see your good deeds and they'll give glory to Father who's in heaven. Deeds are part of the gospel. Deeds will never save you. You'll never do enough deeds to get to heaven. Forget it. Don't even try. But deeds come out of the overflow of our salvation and of our life with God. Hallelujah. So look for opportunities to show acts of kindness to your neighbours, to your friends, in the church and outside of the church. Go the extra mile. Good deeds spread the aroma of Christ when it's in the right attitude and it comes out of a love for God and for the people which we're serving. So Life Spring, we have a high calling. It's exciting, isn't it? Everywhere we go, we can be a blessing. On the train, on the bus, in the home, at work, at the factories, we can be a blessing. Don't even have to open your mouth. Just go full of the Holy Spirit, full of his life. That river flowing through you will be a blessing to others as you were there in their mix. Go and be a blessing. Permeate everywhere with the love and grace of God. And may Jesus get all the glory. Amen. Amen.